Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are at. We are really live this morning and we're glad that you are with us from wherever you might be. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship today. First, our Tuesday evening Bible study continues as we work our way through the Gospel of Mark. You're welcome to join us. It's on Zoom. Our Wednesday meals continue, and please remember that the food pantry is on the third Wednesday. We do ask, however, that you not block the driveway and the street for the safety of all. Also, we are online only until further notice because of the COVID case numbers and county and state levels that we have been given of red, and so please keep that in mind. Also, two other things to make you aware of. The first is that we're going to be doing Advent take-home kits. These will be something that you can swing by the church and pick up starting on the week of November the 22nd. We will have a few different days and times to pick those up. And what that is it will have within it a make-your-own Advent wreath so that you could have, it'll have little tea lights and some garland and things to make a wreath at home. It will also have some different odds and ends from devotionals and coloring pages to some other fun little trinkets stashed within. So we hope you'll pick one of those up and have that at your home as we do Advent together in these times. And the second is that I hope that you will help us to decorate for Advent. Advent starts after Thanksgiving on the last Sunday of November, and we're needing your help in a couple of ways. First, I would challenge you to make, as there at your home, an ornament of some kind and bring that to the church. And when we set up the greens and the trees, we'll use those ornaments to decorate our tree so that a little bit of you and your family could be here with us as we live stream our worship. And also, I need your help to decorate our altar for worship. So if you could bring things, label them very carefully so that we'll know what theme it goes with and who it belongs to, but that represent for you hope, peace, joy, and love. And each week as we journey through Advent, we will use those to decorate our altar to represent the season of Advent and the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. So please bring those to church, put your name on them, and drop them off. We have a nice big mailbox that you could put them in safely, or we'll make some other arrangements, but please help us to decorate for Advent. Now, let us take a deep breath and settle our hearts and our minds as we prepare for worship and listen to our prelude.
Good morning. Will you please join me in the call to worship? Are you awake? Are you alert? Christ is coming into our lives in a new way. Are you watching the signs? Are you interpreting what is happening today? Christ is coming into our lives in a new way. Do you see opportunities for ministry? Do you see the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and the needy? Christ is coming into our lives in a new way. Come, let us worship and let us work in the reign of God. Christ has extended the invitation. Let us work together in the reign of God on earth. Now will you join me in our hymn, Praise the Source of Faith and Learning.
Now, as we come to our time of prayer, let us join in the unison prayer. You let us choose, O God, between you and the false gods of this world. In the midst of the night of sin and death, wake us from our slumber and call us forth to greet Christ, so that with eyes and hearts fixed on him, we may follow the eternal light. Amen. Now let us continue in an attitude of prayer and reflection, both silently and as we listen to music. Lord, we gather this morning from wherever we find ourselves, and we know that you are with us in those spaces. Nothing, Lord, can shut you out or keep you away. You break through in the most unexpected ways, and often we are the way that you find a path for breakthrough. We are the one who unexpectedly causes you to be in our midst, even in the darkest of times in which we find ourselves. And so as the days draw shorter and the world grows colder, we know that you continue to be with and within us wherever we go, in times of darkness and in times of light, and especially in times of twilight, where we're not quite sure which direction we should go. We give thanks for the way that you undergird us and support us in our journey, Lord. And we lift up to you many things, especially we lift up to you Barb Terrell, Pat Bartko, and their whole family during a time of sadness and tragedy and mourning. We lift up Jay and Lee, all those from our church family and from our communities and our world who are struggling with illness and unforeseen circumstances. We pray for all of those who find themselves in a time of twilight, in a time of darkness, or in a time of bright, shining light, because we know and remember that you are with them just as you are with us in all times. And so as we gather this morning in digital spaces and places, we rejoice and mourn and lament and remain firm in our knowledge that you are with us no matter where we may be. And we remain sure because we know that you break through in unexpected ways, just as you broke into the world in an unexpected way, small and fragile, vulnerable, yet powerful. You came among us to try and prepare us for a new way. And as part of that, you taught us the importance of many things, but especially the importance of prayer. So much so that you said, and here are some words that you could pray when you gather. And so we join in those words and we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. I stand here this morning as the chairperson of the SPR Committee for Hope United Methodist Church. Now, I don't want you all to worry. I know we often, when you see me standing in front of the church, there's often panic and despair. Today is a good day. Today is a wonderful day. October is Pastor Appreciation Month in the United Methodist Church. Now, obviously, it's not October, but this isn't a year like any other year. In the past, we would have had a luncheon and expressed our gratitude. This isn't that year. Even though Pastor Andrew and Lindsay and Nora have been here with us almost 2 years, even as hard as that is to believe, we really haven't had a chance to celebrate and delight in all the things that they are to all of us and all the gifts they bring to us. So what our committee decided to do, in lieu of the normal luncheon and accolades, speeches and such, we decided that we would ask our congregation to reach into their heart and just drop a note, a letter, a card, and let Pastor Andrew and his family know what they've brought to our lives, to their lives, what they've meant to them in the last year, almost 2 years. And so I received many, many cards and many letters, which I'll be presenting to Pastor Andrew as soon as the service is over. And I want to let you know that it meant a lot to me. I didn't read them, obviously. They weren't for me. But it meant a lot to see that so many of you just took a few minutes to let him know how much he meant to you and how much he touched your lives and what a great gift he is to all of us. And I'm happy to announce that he will be staying, we hope, for a long, 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 long time. We love him. We know he loves us. And I want to take a moment just to thank you all for dropping a line to Pastor Andrew. We do have a small token for him as well. And it's in the packet that I'll be presenting to him. But I want to thank you all for just taking a few minutes to do that. So thank you, Pastor Andrew. We love you, and we're so grateful you're staying with us.
Thank you, Colleen. All right. Can you hear me? Think so? Yeah, sounds good. Well, good morning and welcome to the children's moment. I'm up here in the front of the church, obviously, because the altar is behind me. Now, you may be noticing on the altar we have a great many things up here. We've got a Bible, and we've got some candles and rice from All Saints last Sunday, although this one's getting perilously close to the rice, so hopefully it will make it the whole service. There's more candle down there, but who knows? We have an empty paten and chalice for represent communion. We have an offering basket, and we've got candles and a cross. So we've got all sort of things that are essential to our faith. And our scripture today is about some women that have candles and oil. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't spend a lot of time these days with candles and oil. It's not something we really use too much now that we've got all this electricity and fancy stuff. But you'll notice that this candle over here is lit. And this one is not. And we're like these candles. Sometimes we're full of oil. We're good, we're happy, things are going well, and we're so full. You can just tell. You wake up in the morning and you think, today's a good day. And so we burn very brightly. and very, the whole world can tell we're just happy. But sometimes, things are a little tougher. We're having a bad day. Stuff's going on that's just dragging us down. We wake up and think to ourselves, I don't want to get out of bed today. I just can't do it. And so like this candle, we're empty. We're dry. We can't burn. We don't have a light to shine anymore. We just got nothing left to give. And in our scripture today, some of the women bring extra oil and some don't. And the ones without extra oil start to panic and they worry because their candles are going to go out. And sometimes our challenge is to be a person that fills somebody else back up. So, we might bring some extra oil with us. Now, for you, bringing extra oil could look like being nice to somebody else, helping them with their homework. If you're good at something they're not good at, spelling or math or something like that, it could just be saying compliments to them. Your hair looks nice today. I like your shoes. I like that your socks don't match. That's really cool. Was that on purpose or accident? We could do all kinds of stuff. But when we do that, when we are nice to other people, when we seek to fill them up in meaningful ways, what we do is that we help them to be filled. And when we fill people up with compliments and kindness, something amazing can happen. So here's my compliments and kindness, and they're going in, I'm filling them up. Put that in there. So when we're nice to somebody else, when we fill them up, then what we can also do is we can take a little bit of our light and we can share it with them once we've filled them up. And then they can burn too. They can be refilled so that they can share their light with the world just as we did. And then the hope is that if we ever find ourselves empty, they could return the favor to us and help fill us back up. Or they could find somebody else who's empty and fill them up. And that way, together, we can make the world a better place by filling up each other with kindness and positivity instead of letting each other go around dry without flame. And so that's our message for today. So would you say a prayer with me as we close? God, thank you for filling us up and restoring us to you. We give thanks for kindness and joy that comes into our lives in many different ways, and we ask that you would continue to help us help others. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning is from the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. The real beginning of wisdom is to desire instruction with all your heart. Love for instruction expresses itself in careful reflection. If you love wisdom, you will keep her laws. If you are attentive to her laws, you can be assured that you will live forever. If you live forever, you will be near to God. If you desire wisdom with all your heart, you will know what good leadership is.
Our second lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 young bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. Now, 5 of them were wise, and the other 5 were foolish. The foolish ones took their lamps, but didn't bring oil for them. But the wise ones took their lamps and also brought containers of oil. When the groom was late in coming, they all became drowsy and went to sleep. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Look, the groom! Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. But the foolish bridesmaids said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps have gone out." But the wise bridesmaids replied, "No, because if we share with you, there won't be enough for our lamps and yours. We have a better idea. You go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the groom came. Those who were ready went with him into the wedding. Then the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep alert, because you don't know the day or the hour." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. What does it mean to admit that we've been foolish? This is the question that has been on my mind since reading this scripture the first time this week in preparation for this sermon. Now, this is not to say that it's the first time I've read this scripture. I just mean that it's the first time this week I read it, and that's what popped out to me. And every time I've read it since, I continue to ask myself that question. What does it mean to admit we've been foolish? Because I would love to get up here and preach to you that I'm always that person who brings extra oil. But we must be honest with ourselves and acknowledge that we all have times that we don't. We have to admit to ourselves and to others that we have been foolish. Now, we are in the time of the lectionary, the cycle of readings we follow traditionally, the time of year in the church calendar when we focus on the end time, the preparation for a new thing. It's sort of like the Advent before Advent. It's like the eve of the Christmas Eve of the Eve. A lot of Eves. It's very complicated. We're always preparing for something in the church, it seems like, but very rarely do we ever feel like we get there. But when we focus this time of year, we're preparing not just for the end, but we're actually preparing for the beginning of a new thing. That's what happens as we prepare ourselves for Christmas. We get ready for the end of the world as we know it, because Christ is coming and it will all be different if we let him come into our hearts and lives. The world cannot, or at least should not, be the same for us or others. And so we get this teaching, this parable about the bridesmaids and their preparation, or the lack thereof. Christ is trying to teach us several things, one of which is that we will not know exactly when the return will happen. Now, we all know that there are those who get up and say, "I did the Bible math, and it's next week at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday." And next week at 7 p.m. on Tuesday will come, and there will be those who gather in the field and stare at the sky, and nothing will happen, and the person will say, "I actually miscalculated because of daylight savings time," which I'm not a fan of because I have a toddler, but that's a whole other sermon. "It's Thursday. I didn't take in daylight savings time, plus there's that weird fluctuation in the calendar because of leap year, and so it's actually Thursday," and then we repeat. And so Jesus is saying, We don't get to know exactly when it will happen. We shouldn't know exactly when it will happen. But we as disciples who seek to yoke ourselves with Christ aren't supposed to. We're just supposed to be at all times a people who are prepared and ready. And I don't know about you, but to me that sounds exhausting. The idea of being constantly on guard, constantly prepared, with no knowledge of the actual timing, is exhausting. This is a draining thought, because I want to know how much I need to prepare for. Growing up, my mother was huge on list making. We'd be going on vacation, and she'd say, "Make a list. How many pairs of pants do you need? How many shirts do you need? How many bathing suits do you need? Do you need a bathing suit? Find that out before you get in the car, kid." You know, she would make us list all this stuff out. And part of that has stuck around. So I like to plan ahead. I want to know how much we're talking about. How many clothes do I need? Do I need to bring my own food? What kind of shoes might I need on this trip? And on with planning. But to be told that you don't know when it will happen, and you just always need to be ready, is exhausting, just as a concept, let alone living it out. I think it really ties into the world we live in right now. During these times of pandemic, we want to know, when will it be over? How long do we have to wear these masks everywhere we go? How long do I have to stay away from people? And it's exhausting, this state of perpetual unknown and waiting. So what is hard, in the midst of the perpetual waiting and unknown, is keeping vigilant. And so naturally, as we right now find ourselves in this space, we fail. We are foolish. We let our guard down, because being on guard 24/7 is nearly impossible, as it ties into the limits of our human abilities. And in fact, it reminds me of Matthew 26:40, when Jesus comes to the garden, when he's asked his disciples just to pray while he prays, and he says, it reads, he came back to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, couldn't you stay alert 1 hour with me? And so we ask ourselves and find ourselves asked by Christ, couldn't you just stay alert for an hour? But we're being asked to stay alert all the time. And on top of this, we have to acknowledge that we are foolish, that we get in our own way. Just like those who don't bring enough oil, we rush without preparation into our own foolishness. So if we are those who are unprepared and foolish, then what do we do? I wonder what would have happened if those who didn't have enough oil had stopped panicking and just remained, waiting in the darkness and the unknown for when he came. What if in our own foolishness, we just waited and admitted we had been foolish instead of running recklessly to do something else to try and make up for it? What would that do for us? One of the most famous miracles in the scriptures is when Jesus divides the fishes and the loaves. And this parable reminds me of that so much because in it, the people say, well, we're hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, these people are hungry. And he says, give them something to eat. And they say, we don't have enough for us, let alone these people. If we give them what we have, nobody really gets to eat. And then he's like, well, what do you think we should do? And they say, send the people away to go buy their own food in nearby towns. And Jesus is like, no. And then he prays and he blesses and divides it and feeds them. It reminds me of the miracle when the Israelites return to the temple and do not have enough oil, but they pray and bless what little they have and light a lamp for God, thinking one day is better than nothing, and it lasts 8 days. The bridesmaids that have plenty of oil are selfish, because yes, they are prepared, but it's not only about them. The bridesmaids who are unprepared are foolish, because they did not think to plan ahead, but they're also foolish because they don't have the faith to just sit in the darkness and wait for the one who comes with the light to find them. They run off to try and find their own solution to something that isn't easily fixable. Sometimes we have to sit and admit our foolishness so that we can be returned and welcomed back into the community. To be foolish and unprepared is part of the human condition. If you don't believe me, how many times have you seen somebody walking down the freeway with a gas can, even though the car has a gauge for gas, and then a light that comes on and tells you you're running out of gas, and then often will even yell at you and say, seriously, you're gonna run out of gas. And yet we still run out of gas. We as a people are foolish. But we as a people are also capable of great acts of generosity, compassion, mercy, and grace, because God has imbued us with those gifts and desires that we would share that with each other. We have selfish bridesmaids and foolish bridesmaids, and I think none of these bridesmaids is truly prepared, because on the one side, they're not prepared to be generous and merciful. And on the other side, they're just not ready and they panic. And we should all be able to identify with someone in this story, because at some point in our life, we have been without mercy for others, and we have also been the one who is foolish. And we have been just sitting in the dark, lost and alone, maybe unable to admit our own foolishness, our foolishness in lack of preparation and our foolishness in lack of mercy. Because the reality is we are all in this together. We may not all like each other all of the time. We may not all support the same ideals all of the time. But unfortunately, for each and every one of us, we are all on this ship of life on this planet called Earth together. Except for about the 6 people that are on the International Space Station. But we'll give them the proximity and call them part of us, even though they're not technically on Earth. We are all in this together. And so some of us may hoard our oil and say, "No, I was prepared. You're stupid." And some of us may run around waving our hands in the darkness saying, "I need oil, I need oil." But the reality is that we're all in this together. All of us are foolish in some way. And if we cannot and we refuse to admit our own foolishness, we simply compound the problem because we cannot wish it away. So we may train, and we may prepare ourselves, and we may stockpile, and we may seek to grow in everything we do, but it is only in the moment. And you'll know the moment. It is only in the moment that our true character is revealed, and that we realize whether or not we are truly prepared to be a disciple and to welcome Christ into our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our lives. Amen. Now let us join in our next hymn as we sing the summons.
Meaning you and you in me. Will you love the you you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and ever be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow.
As we come now to our time of offertory, I know that we are not all able to be here to place our gifts and offerings on the altar. And yet, from wherever we are and however we have given, and of whatever we give, we know that God blesses and thanks us. We know that we have been given many things: the gift of prayer, the gift of witness, the gift of service. We know we have been given people and places in our lives that hold meaning to us. We know that God has worked in us in many ways. And so we may not be able to place everything on the altar, but we can place everything that we are and all that we give before God when we honor God in the way that we live our lives and in the way that we care and love for our neighbor, and in how we offer our daily walk and our daily self to God. We honor and give back to Him. Let us have a moment of silent reflection as we engage in a spirit of offering. Now, wherever you may be, I would invite you to stand. Stretch your arms if you haven't moved in a while. Stretch your legs. And remember that all that God has given you is something that you can use to honor and give back to God. And let us join in our doxology. Please join me in the unison offertory prayer. Let us pray. O God, who desires good for all creatures, satisfy our hunger not just for food, but for freedom, truth, justice, and love. O risen Christ, you revealed yourself to us as one who gives to the poor and cares for all people. We dedicate our lives and our offerings to your service. O Holy Spirit, bless these gifts and abide in our hearts, so that our gifts and our actions may live out our faith, glorify God, and bring forth a fruitful harvest for the kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we prepare to go back into the world and all the dangers it is fraught with and all the challenges that it poses to us, May you take courage and know that God is with and within us. May you take comfort in knowing that just like Peter, he who became the rock, all of us have opportunities to fall short and be foolish, and to grow and show who and whose we can become. May you be strengthened in the knowledge that even in our own shortcomings, God can continue to work in our lives for change and to use us to build a better world each and every day. May you remember that no matter where you are right now, you are part of something bigger than any one of us, because we are bound together by a love that overcomes all things, that binds us together, the love of Christ. Amen. Let us join in our benediction response.